Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. This is the Talk Back Hour. Once a week out of 20 hours of broadcasting, last week it was 21 hours live, I take 1 hour, nothing but health-related environmental issues and issues that impact us directly. No guest, no commentaries, but you have an opportunity to call in on any issue that you find important. This is our Talk Back segment. Our number to call in, not at this moment, in about 15 minutes, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Today, I'm going to give you the latest on how you can boost your immune system and what that will do to rejuvenate peripheral nerves. Also, the latest information on the omega-3 supplements can actually slow down the biological aging process. From our environmental segment, we're going to share information of why genetically engineered foods are dangerous. They have absolutely no science to support their long-term efficacy or safety. Also today, I'm going to take a look at Dr. Barbara Starfield's article in the Journal of the American Medical Association. She says in this article that, quote, America's healthcare system is the third leading cause of death in America. Not true. It's the number one. What didn't she get right? I'll go into that on our program. Also, deprived of nature, meaning not being out in the parks and the woods enough, kids exposed to a shocking amount of TV, what does it do to them? I'll give you an insight into that. Also, I'd like your feedback on this issue. We have a decaying infrastructure. For those of you who've been fortunate enough to go to Japan, you've seen one of the finest rail systems in the world. They move an enormous amount of people, not by cars primarily, but by public transportation. The same is true in France and other countries. Why don't we have this? By the way, when you move freight by rail, you're getting 400 miles to a gallon of fuel, so it's really an environmentally proper way to move. So we're going to deal with all that. And time permitting, Dr. Vandana Shiva, a woman I have enormous respect for, she's like the modern-day Rachel Carson, she talks about the myths about industrial agriculture and why organic farming is, quote, the only way to produce food without harming the planet and people's health. So we'll talk about that. Let's begin. Now, all of us need to understand why we should have a healthy immune system. But we don't. Very few people have a healthy immune system. If you're overweight, you don't have a healthy immune system. It's not humanly possible at a biochemical level to be overweight and to be healthy because of what that extra weight is doing inside that you're not seeing, and especially the markers for inflammation in the body like homocysteine and C-reactive protein and fibrinogen that go up. When those markers go up, and you won't know it unless you have a blood chemistry test, your chances of dying of a heart attack, stroke, or cancer really increase. Also, a lot of things we don't even think about could cause our immune system to be chronically adversely affected. Let me give you one example. Botox. Now, Botox is to help eliminate a lot of facial lines. How does it do it? Well, it's not your skin per se that has the wrinkles. It's the musculature underneath the skin, and specifically the muscle and collagen combination. So what Botox does, it gives you a very, very toxic dose of a bacterium that paralyzes your musculature. And when your musculature is paralyzed and can't move, then it smooths out, so the skin on it smooths with it. That's how it works. All right. I'm going to guess that tens of millions of Americans currently get Botox. What's the downside? What do you think your immune system is doing? your immune system doesn't realize. You just want to look better. You don't want to have so much obvious wrinkles. It's fighting 24/7 a five-alarm fire. It has to go in there, and through a process called phagocytosis, it has to be able to identify those bacteria and eat them and take them out of your system. All right. If you're young, Botox lasts you about 3 to 4 months. If you're older, it lasts you even longer. Why? Because the immune system is stronger when you're younger, and it helps rebalance the body. So what do people do? The moment your immune system finally starts to take care of all the bacteria so your body can no longer be infected, you get another injection. So the irony of it is, the more frequently you get your Botox injections, the more compromised your immune system is, because all this takes your immune system to a different level. It would be like this. Botox is to your immune system what having a massive abscess in your jaw, the size of a golf ball, with constant pus. That is what they didn't tell you. That's what your doctor, your cosmetic surgeon, didn't tell you. But they should have. Now, when I was in Germany, I went to visit the one physician in the world who had the highest rate of curing terminal cancer. His name was Dr. Joseph Issels. I found him to be one of the most remarkable human beings I've ever met. When I got there, it was in a beautiful setting, the Black Forest and a lake called Tegernsee Lake, not too far from Munich. And I went up into the mountains, and I went into this what looked like a lodge. It had the big old wood in it. It had a nice smell to it, that old wood smell. And when I walked in, I didn't see anyone. And it was, I think, three stories. And I walked up to the looking and seeing if anyone was there. And I finally saw some guy. He was in a room. I went back to talk with him. He was an American. He was a dentist. And he was putting on his running shoes. And I said, "Where's everyone at?" He's there up on the mountain. I said, "What are they doing there?" He said, "Well, there each day we go up on the mountain and we have a picnic and we get our therapy going." So I said, "Well, is Dr. Issels up there?" "Oh, yeah." So I went up the mountain with him, and this was no small little mountain to go up. And on this bluff overlooking the lake, magnificent view, there were, I'm going to guess, around 40 people, including some staff. And they had some blankets laid out, and they had these glasses of juice being filled. People were walking around with this giant pitcher filling them with these juices. And I was given a couple of juices, and they were really tasty. One was a fermented juice. It tasted a little bit like sauerkraut, and indeed it probably was. And another was a kefir juice with probiotics. This is way before the probiotic boom. And they had gigantic salads. So they were, you know, socializing and talking. Everyone seemed to be pretty happy. I didn't know at the time they were all terminally ill. I mean, you're used to going to Sloan Kettering, one of the other hospitals, where people are terminally ill. They have that death look, that death stare. Their skin is, you know, hanging from their skeleton. Not these people. And there was this tall man with this white, long hair going clear down to his shoulders. Kind of reminded me of a lion. And that was Dr. Issels. And I went over and introduced myself. He said, "Well, we knew you were coming." And with that, he told everyone to relax. They'd finished their lunch. And he said, "Now, visualize that you are on a beautiful, big white horse. Your whole body's covered in white armor. You have this giant sword. It is the sword of healing. And it just beams healing energy. In front of you, at a slow gallop, you're going into a valley. It's the valley of death. And you'll see millions of the enemy, the cancer cells. On this day, you will ride through the valley of death, and you will kill the cancer cells." And with that, he asks everyone to close their eyes, and he puts on the Overture of 1812. And it goes on for about, I'm guesstimating that version about 12 minutes. But at the end, when the canyons are going, I'm looking at the people, and I could see their body kind of moving. They were being impacted by what they were hearing, and it was booming, this whole wonderful cascade of sound echoing back. Now, just before he did that, he took a sample of their blood. Then afterwards, he took another sample of their blood. And later that afternoon, down in the laboratory, he showed me that their immune system, especially their natural killer cell activity, doubled. And that's what causes the body to kill cancer. Now, why is this important to this whole discussion of the immune system? Because what he said is this: the moment anyone comes in here, I eliminate all local focal infections. And he took me into his dental theater, and he said, this is where most people have their infections. They have infected teeth. They have infections up under the gum that they're not aware of. They have bad teeth, and we take care of all that here. Then they have infections in their joints. They have inflammation in their joints. So in here, we work on those local and focal infections. So he said, Gary, what you have is you have an immune system that has been broken into pieces to fight all these infections. They're eating meat and garbage, and that causes an enormous amount of infection down in the intestine. That draws the immune system. But if you've only got 100% immune system and you've got a 200% need, then the cancer isn't going to be fought by the immune system. So the whole process of his therapy, which is the most integrated, comprehensive cancer therapy I'd ever seen, was to first and foremost stop local infections. Now, this was before Botox. And I saw what happened, the enormous percentages of people who had improved while they were there. In fact, there was a woman named Dome who was there. And her husband was a cancer doctor, and her two sons were doctors. And she had been given up as terminal, and it was suggested that the 2 or 3 months she had to live, she'd go on a cruise with her husband. And she found out about Issel's therapy, and she went there instead. It outraged everybody. And here she was, when I talked with her, when I interviewed her, she was no longer terminal, and her cancer gone from stage 4 down to a stage 2. I interviewed over 500 patients all told of Issel's. Not just then, but I'd later, many times, and I would contact them. He had a 17% cure rate with terminal patients. He had an 87% non-relapse rate. So his was the best. None of the other therapists I interviewed, Dr. Lawrence Burton, Stanislaw Brzezinski, Virginia Livingston Weider, Al-Kaidi, Rivisi, Kelly, none of them could touch that. In any case, the moral of this story is this: anything that you do that adversely affects your immune system, from eating foods that you're allergic to, that really hammers your immune system. Alcohol, artificial sweeteners, MSG, aspartame, all of this is impacting your immune system. That then means you're more vulnerable to all kinds of disease. So I'm suggesting that those getting Botox, remember, you're putting yourself at risk of getting an infection. Now, this is from the Georgia Institute of Technology Research News. Let me quote this. Finding the master knob to turn on nerve repair, this study suggests the immune system can boost regeneration of peripheral nerves. I'll quote. Modulating immune response to injury could accelerate the rejuvenation of severed peripheral nerves, a new study in an animal model has found. By altering activity of the macrophage cells that respond to injuries, researchers dramatically increase the rate at which nerve processes regrew. Influencing the macrophages immediately after injury may affect the whole cascade of biochemical events that occurs after nerve damage, potentially eliminating the need to directly stimulate the growth of axons using nerve growth factors. If the results of this first-ever study can be applied to humans, they could one day lead to a new strategy for treating peripheral nerve injuries that typically result from trauma, surgical resection of tumors, or radical prostatectomies. That's good news. But what it's also saying is that you keep a strong immune system, you can rejuvenate a lot in your body you otherwise wouldn't be able to. Now, also, by taking in those good probiotics 3 times a day, that's an enormous benefit for your immune system. Vitamin C every 2 hours, up to bowel tolerance, then backing it down a bit. That's anywhere from 500 to 2,000 milligrams. Quercetin also is phenomenal. Echinacea and Podiarco. All of those are really good for your immune system. Separately, from the Journal of Functional Foods, Ohio State University researchers found an apple a day keeps cholesterol at bay. Let me quote this. Daily consumption of an apple or apple polyphenols could help keep, quote, the doctor away by lowering the levels of the bad LDL cholesterol by up to 40%. Quote, we got a tremendous effect against the LDL being oxidized with just one apple a day for 4 weeks. Since both the apples and polyphenols extract gave an effect, the apple effect seemed to be due, at least in part, to the polyphenol present. So the takeaway message is that when I'm suggesting that you have a juice twice a day made of apples, I would say 6 apples, 1 full stalk of celery, the whole bunch, and always wash your celery thoroughly and cut off the bottom, cut off the top, and then make sure you agitate it underwater and take your finger up the ridge so there's no bacteria in there that could cause you any food poisoning. Anyhow, cucumber and lemon. Now, that'll give you enough for 3 glasses of juice. You have 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, 1 in the early evening. That will be tremendous for lowering your cholesterol, lowering blood pressure, and it's really good for you. Now, a new study reported in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry done at Oregon State University shows that zinc is very poorly absorbed the older you get. That, in turn, increases your likelihood of inflammation. Well, what are the conditions of inflammation when we get over 40? Brain inflammation, dementia, memory loss, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, musculature injury or inflammation, fibromyalgia, arthritis and pain. Inflammation in the arteries leads to atherosclerosis. Inflammation at the cells leads to cancer. So this is big news with a simple solution. Make sure that you supplement a 20 milligram zinc each day. That would help you. And that'll keep your zinc level up. And zinc is important for lowering inflammation in the body. Now, the omega-3 fatty acids are essential. If you're vegan, you can get them from flaxseed oil and walnuts. If you're a meat eater, you can get them from the fatty fish. Here's the reason why you should be getting them. This is published in Brain and Behavior and Immunity. And it says, shifting the balance of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids in favor of the omega-3 through supplementation could slow the biological effects of aging. Quote, consumption of omega-3 supplements for 4 months could help shift the ratio of fatty acids in favor of the beneficial fatty acids, and that can combat biological signs of aging. It means it's going to slow down the aging process. Turn off inflammation. Great for lowering your blood pressure. And finally, from our health segment today, this is from Carolina Wright, Natural News. It's about rhodiola. I'm pretty sure most people are not aware of rhodiola. R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A. Rosea. Now, it's been around for a long time. The Greeks, the Vikings, the Chinese emperors used to create this, what was called vitality drink. And it would help them with endurance and mental acuity. And at potency, it was helping them with heart, irregular heartbeat, cancer, depression. It's had a remarkable ability to help individuals. Well, what it is, like ginseng, it is an adaptogen. It helps the body resist stress. So anyone over the age of 40 should really be consuming some rhodiola. I would say every other day. I would say get it in supplement form, and it should, you start, should start to see stamina, boost in your sexual vigor, and mental clarity. If you're under stress, your adrenaline and corticotropin release factor become elevated. And so rhodiola helps impair glandular function and promote a feeling of, actually it enhances glandular function and promotes a feeling of energy. And when otherwise you would have mental exhaustion, you feel renewed. So get your rhodiola. It can make a big difference. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. You know I can't be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, please, please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I'd like to welcome everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and we're going to be taking your calls now. The rest of the program, it's whatever you'd like to call in and ask about. Our number is 888-874-4888. Now, keep in mind that we also have coming up tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, the Progressive Commentary Hour. That's the most downloaded show listened to over the Internet in all of radio. And we always have some really strong themes. It's a single theme. Don't miss that. Before we go to your calls, let me just mention also, this is from Common Dreams. Let me share this. It's short. In addition to the troubling 80 minutes of TV the average child in the United States watches each and every day, a new study, this is brand new, shows that they found the amount of secondhand exposure to television for young children was staggering and should be of additional concern to parents and pediatricians both. The study was entitled Background Television in the Homes of U.S. Children, which appeared in the official journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and discovered that the average child between 8 months and 8 years old is exposed to 232 minutes, that's 4 hours, of secondhand television a day. Averages were even highest, they found, among young toddlers. African-American children, those who had televisions in their bedrooms, were even higher. Although other recent research has shown the negative consequences associated with background television, the new study focused on determining how much of this exposure children were receiving by asking parents to keep kids' exposure with a 24-hour time diary. And, quote, when we saw the numbers, we were just shocked. The sheer amount of exposure is shocking, said the lead professor from the University of Amsterdam on this. According to other studies cited by the authors, background television creates distractions, both audio and visual, that can detract from the developmental benefits of playtime and homework and family time. Over time, the exposure may have possible consequences for kids' well-being. Quote, from a research perspective, I would be very concerned, said the lead author. I think background TV is something that researchers need to spend more time to understand. Now, what does all this mean in just lay language? It means that many children and a lot of adults always have a radio or television on in the background. And to really study, to be present and mindful, to be able to concentrate, to do an analysis, You need silence. Because every time you have that television on, and that's your background, that's your secondhand distraction noise, it keeps you from fully focusing. That's one of the reasons that I retreat to my home whenever possible, though right now I'm spending virtually all my time trying to help with the legislation on the proposition in California coming up in a few weeks, so we can say yes, vote yes on the proposition to get GMO foods labeled. And that will just destroy GMO foods in California, and then we can take that nationwide. Well, I'm doing segments, so I have to go out there every single week and going from one end of the state to the other. In any case, otherwise, when I go to my home, I go alone, and the quietness, the ability to be able to spend 2, 3, 4 hours with no phones, no cell phones, no interruptions, and just write. That's where I write my commentaries. Or in New York, I will go to my apartment. I don't have a telephone. I don't have a telephone, computer, internet, nothing in my apartment. So I can sit and look out at the New York skyline and in the total quiet write my commentaries. And you'll hear my commentaries every day, and or mine or another that I will choose with my own input. If I had to do all my intellectual thinking work and creative work where there's constant background noise, I wouldn't possibly be able to get as much done. I wouldn't be able to focus, but neither can anyone else. So turn off the television. It's really destroying a whole generation's capacity for focus, learning, retention, cognition. That's what that meant. James. Hi, James from New Jersey. How can we help you today?
Yes, hi. Good evening, Gary. I have a question concerning whether or not there is a natural protocol for people who get severe anxiety attacks of a very physical nature.
Sure is. Are you the person who's getting the anxiety attacks?
Yes, I am. And the good thing is I'm almost positively sure I know the source of the anxiety attacks. Some people don't even know, but yes, yeah, it is me.
Okay. Did you watch the new film I have out, the documentary called Natural Approaches to Stress Control?
I have not yet.
I would suggest, it hasn't even been released yet, but it's done. I would suggest you watch it because I take on all the different reasons why we're stressed. And generally what happens is that when we're stressed to a point that it interferes with the quality of our life, and almost always the stress increases to the anxiety and an acute anxiety stage when we don't have control over a circumstance, an outcome.
Right.
And not always in life are we by ourselves able to do something. And frequently we have the circumstances involving other people. So we may be able to resolve an issue. Maybe the other person that's important to that isn't. And that creates anxiety. But anxiety disorders today are very common, and they generally start now in early teens and go right through till senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And how I look at it is, first and foremost, understand that anything that can change the energy, in other words, stop the gridlock of anxiety attacks or panic attacks, mm-hmm. because all you're going to do there is become a sense of intense fear. And instead, meditation, qigong, mm-hmm. which is the finest energy balancing technique for anxiety.
Okay.
So qigong, meditation, mindful meditation, and then tapping. Are you familiar with tapping?
No, I'm not.
All right. There is a Dr. Henry Grayson, and he has a program on Progressive Radio Network. He's a wonderful healer. He's a psychologist. He created a system where, in effect, you're asking the body to surrender the energy that it's locked in, to stop the recurring patterns of behavior. And by asking the energy to be released and you tap that spot, it is able to work. I've seen it work on so many people.
Yeah, well, I've tried valerian root, standardized extract, and that really didn't do it.
This is not a nutritional protocol.
Oh, this is strictly okay.
All right. Because I could give, look, I could give you bilberry and ginkgo and milk thistle, which are all important for reducing and neutralizing free radicals that are caused when your stress hormones, catecholamines, mm-hmm. and cortisol goes up. I could give you catnip and chamomile and cramp bark and cob and hops and lindenflower and motherwort and passionflower and skullcap, all of which allow you to relax. I could give you fennel, which is an anti-anxiety and gastrointestinal aspect. If you tie your intestines, you've heard the notion, I'm tying my intestines in knots.
Yes.
Well, that's where someone localizes, because each person will localize their anxiety in a different part of the body. Some people, it's the head, the neck, the stomach, feverfew. All these, if you had migraines, that would help. But that's not going to change the underlying energy imbalance.
You're absolutely right. I noticed during an anxiety attack, Gary, a negative thought tends to lead into many, many other negative thoughts, and it just accelerates the whole...
It doesn't accelerate. What it does... it opens up the tape deck to play 1,000 different tapes that you recorded early in life about what happens when you can't control the outcome. But here you are an adult, and you're still going ahead and manifesting this in the same way.
Okay. All right. Very good.
All right. Watch the film Overcoming the Dark Side.
And I heard you mention something important about orac. Which is the king, clove or cinnamon? I get confused.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon has a higher orac than clove.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Eric Hoffer?
No.
1940s, 50s, 60s, great author. He said, "It is thus with most of us. We are what other people say we are. We know ourselves chiefly by hearsay."
Hmm.
Now think of that in your case.
Okay, I will.
What would happen if your anxiety was due on any level to what you couldn't control in the perception others would have of you? Think of the people right now who are stressed because of are afraid to surrender any possessions because they've identified themselves by their possessions. Or others by their position, their title. Others by their awards. Others by their personality. Others by their ideology.
Well, superficiality reasons, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's hopefully that'll help you. Let me know, all right?
Okay. Thank you very much, Gary. Have a good night.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
Let's say hello to John. Hi, John. Your turn.
How are you today?
Good.
On last week's program, you had mentioned that you owned a dog that was lived to about 22 years old, I believe, before he got hit by a car or something along that line.
Yes, a miniature Dachshund.
Yeah, and you said he was vegetarian.
That's correct.
Okay, that's my question: is how do you get a dog on a vegetarian diet?
Generally, you have to have them on a diet when they're puppies.
Mm-hmm.
And first you shift them over to a more raw food diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start looking at signs such as their eyes, their breath, the quality of their gums, their coat, their energy level. And the key with a dog is you got to keep the weight, just like a human being, lean. When your dog gets overweight, it's processing a massive amount of metabolic activity. And with all the meat that we give our animals in this country, there's a constant buildup of free radicals from the uric acid that goes in and the purines that go in. Now, if you start with something that the animal can appreciate, maybe starting with some shifting over to an organic raw meat, you have to do this in stages if it's an older dog. And what I do is I make a drink every morning, and in that drink I put all the phytonutrients and the vitamins that are necessary for the animal's health, and it's a raw organic drink. I put all the essential fatty acids, the omega-3 fatty acids, and that goes in. The polyphenols go in. And then by cutting up small pieces of raw organic meat, and then they have to drink the juice in order to get the meat, then you put in some brown rice. And all that helps them tremendously. And then you start to see their energy improves and their coat improves, their breath improves. Make sure you're also brushing your dog's teeth every single day, 7 days a week, and make for tartar control and to prevent gum disease. You have no idea how many American dogs over the age of 7 have to have their teeth removed because no one thought about brushing their teeth. And you have to brush their teeth. So that's how I would start. Now, if you want to go into greater depth on this, look at the video that I did. It was a PBS special called Natural Pet Care. And there's also a book. It's not, I don't know if it's still in publication or not. You could certainly get a copy at the library, or you could get a copy probably up on Amazon or go into a Barnes & Noble. They might have a copy. And there I list all the protocols for all the different animals, for birds, fish, horses, ferrets, dogs, and cats. So, and by the way, there are 8 million people that own horses in the United States, and they know more about feeding a horse organic grains, organic grasses, than they do about themselves. I had my original ranch was in Tioga, Texas, which was right near Denton, about 20 miles from Denton. And Denton, from Denton and Pilot Point, that's the quarter horse capital of the world. You have more quarter horses being raised there on these small ranches than any place else in the world. Beautiful big barns. They filtered their water. They were conscious about the carrots they gave and everything they did. No sprays around. And yet they were smoking and, you know, eating garbage, not their horses. So just remember, if you want a long-lived animal, it has to be a largely raw diet. And then you'll see the length of your animal increase.
And Gary, when you're going from raw meat to a vegetarian source of protein, what kind of vegetarian source of protein do you substitute?
Well, remember, what is protein? Protein is nothing more than a series of amino acids, generally 22 amino acids in different combinations. And we are protein phobic in the United States. Even vegetarians eat too much protein. If you were to compare a culture in Africa or South America that is vitally healthy, I'm not talking about one that's suffering from the consequences of civil conflict or starvation and drought. I'm talking about someone who is living a natural existence in their community. You will see that they're generally getting anywhere from 15 to 20 grams of protein a day. And most of that is non-flesh sources. They may have flesh occasionally, but that's more celebratory consumption than it is a regular day-to-day. In South America, they're eating breadfruits. They're eating a lot of root vegetables. And in Africa, they're eating millet, because millet is the poor person's protein. It's a very light grain, easy to grow, and very nutritious. Now, every grain, nut, seed, legume, contains all 8 essential amino acids, meaning they're essential because our body doesn't produce them. So understanding that we have kidney disease and liver disease because we consume too much protein. Now that's, when you look at a bodybuilder, you look at an athlete, they're consuming 100 to 400 grams a day. Their actual needs are closer to 75. So this idea that we have to have all this protein in our bodies is simply a myth. And what it does, it actually prematurely ages us. The maximum we should have is about 9/10 of gram per kilogram body weight per day. That means for women about 30 to 50 grams, depending upon the size and age, pregnant or not, lactating or not. And a man, that's generally between 45 to 65 grams. We double that easily. In one steak, you're getting 3 days worth of protein in one steak from one meal or more. And then we wonder why 40% of all American adults suffer from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And this is one of the reasons why, one of the reasons. Also, the amount of sugar is another. So that's also true with animals, where we give too much protein and then give them treats that are always refined carbohydrates and then wonder why, by age 7 or 8, they're sick or dead. Whereas when I go on my travels around the world, especially in Europe, I see cats and dogs that are 25 and 30 years old. The cat's 30 years old. The dog's generally up to anywhere between 20 and 25. So I've had that experience. I work with animals. I've always had animals, horses, all kinds of animals. And so I know what... I just had a primate pass about 4 months ago. And I remember when I first got this primate, she was 4 when I got her. This is a ring-tailed lemur. They generally live about 12 years. Sometimes they get a little older. She was 24. She was more than double the normal lifespan and in absolutely great health. So that's what can happen when you feed them right. Okay? All the best to you, John.
Thank you.
I'm Gary Knoll. We're taking your calls now. Let's go over and say hello to, I think we have a listener from Atlanta, Janet. Hi, Janet. Janet, you're on the air. Speak up, please.
I'm having some issues. I have neuropathy in my face and arms for about the last 5 years. I treated it with acupuncture, and it kind of worked except when I got stressed. But now it's back with blurred vision, vertigo. They just gave me an MRI trying to determine if it's MS or migraine, and I just want to know what natural therapies I can do for that.
All right, just back it up a bit. What do you believe your neuropathy is due to?
It does seem to come out when I get stressed, but the I've been to a couple of neurologists, and I've gotten, I've heard it could be MS most recently, and then before they said it's migraine.
Mm-hmm. Have you
but
had
have
your,
started.
Are you overweight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been overweight?
Probably about 4 or 5 years. I gained a lot of weight after the death of a parent.
Okay, how old are you now?
40. I'll be 47 this week.
All right, so you're going through perimenopause.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, have you had your blood sugar tested?
I've had it tested a couple of times, and the last time maybe about 6 months ago, and it's always fine with a fasting blood sugar.
What is your fasting blood sugar?
I don't remember what it was, but I think it was within the normal range.
All right, here's what I would suggest. The moment that you... We're having a lot of glitches on the... we're going to ask you to listen on the computer, and that way I can answer your phone without the background noise. Neuropathy is more common in people who are overweight. So just getting the weight off will make a difference. Detoxifying to getting the weight off will do it correctly. And hence, you're not going to be susceptible to any of these dangerous diets. You're really dealing with nerve tissue. So you want to repair and rejuvenate nerve tissue. To do that, sleeping on a magnetic mattress, that's good. Getting magnetic therapy, including electropulse magnetic therapy, that can help. Being able to work with a holistic psychologist, a humanistic holistic psychologist would be the ideal, or a therapist, to help you resolve some of these issues about grief and loss and being able to become present for this moment in your life. There's a point to where if we can't get out of our grief and we stay too long with it and the depression that comes from a loss of a loved one, then we take on that energy. And when we take on the energy, it just recycles it back to feeling depressed, empty, lonely, and always fearing our own mortality because we've seen the reality of that expiration date occurring on our loved ones. So you have to put yourself into the hands of someone who can guide you through this process. So you're in Atlanta. There's a lot of good healers in Atlanta. and that's where I would start. You're also going to have to be able to exercise, detoxify the body, because in the process of detoxification, especially chelation therapy, oral, rectal, intravenous, you're able to take the heavy metals, especially lead and mercury, out of the body, both of which can impact our neurological system and our also our nervous system. So you're going to feel better. And then you'll be able to help yourself overcome neuropathy. Neuropathy in and of itself is not that difficult to overcome. It just takes time and patience and having the right protocols. My suggestion would be to give a call to Luann Panessi, because she's helped a lot of people. She has my protocols, and she's helped a lot of people overcome neuropathy problems. All right? And I don't know her number, but I'll get her number, and we'll put it up there for you. All the best to you. Let's go over now and say hello to, who else do we have here? Luann Panessi. Hi.
Just mentioned. How convenient was that?
Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I have an email here. Well, first, let me leave that my number for that person and anybody else who's interested or has any questions about any of your protocols. You can call me at 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. And I have a very interesting email here from someone who's been listening to you for 18 years, and she says she has tremendous health because of it. She says her husband is a Wall Street attorney for over 30 years, and he always thought you were a quack. Of course, he drinks alcohol, he eats bad food, and he doesn't really listen to me. He says 5 months ago, we had a discussion that he really didn't want to hear about his health. And I gave him the article that was written about you where it stated that Stephen Barrett, the Quackbuster, was all wrong about you and that all of your credentials were in fact credible and you were right. She said, and at least that stopped him from believing that you were incredible. He said, recently we were traveling and you were on the car radio. He didn't care about what you said about health, but to my surprise, he was intrigued with your commentaries on social issues, especially your analysis of Wall Street. After your commentary, he said that he thought you were just a nutrition guy. And I told him that clearly you cover other topics. Now every day he listens to your commentaries, and he also listens to your Monday night show. He's still not into healthy eating, but he sure does appreciate what you say, and he thinks that you have the most intelligent commentaries he has ever heard on radio. Sounds like you got another fan.
Well, that's very nice. Frequently, I will see at lectures people come over and say, I'm going to introduce you to my husband or wife or a daughter or son, to my mother or father, and I was hoping that you might say something that could inspire them in your lecture, etc. So it's not always that everyone in a family agrees. More often than not, it's someone who has an opening, an epiphany, light goes on, and then they become a proselytizer. My suggestion is always respect the boundaries of everyone that you live with or your friends, not to preach. If people are curious about the changes you've made, the insights you have that are different than your previous thoughts, then share them with them because they're asking you. They've opened a door. If they don't open that door, it's not because they don't know that you have made changes. They don't want to know. And I believe that we must always be sensitive not to ruin our welcome and to have a place in someone's life where we feel that we can preach to them because they're our friends or family members. That's one way to really alienate people. To the fact that he now at least is aware that there have been long-term campaigns against those of us who challenge the status quo, and I'm very pleased the fact that, I don't know who it was, some independent people, and clearly someone with academic backgrounds, because they had to do an enormous amount of research. They took every article that I had written, looked at it, researched its source material, And then they compared that to what Stephen Barrett was attacking. Like if I said sugar was bad, and here's why, and I wrote an article, Stephen Barrett says sugar's good, then Gary Null is wrong. They found that he was wrong on every single one of his criticisms. He's wrong about everything he talks about me, and I was right. Voltaire, you're familiar with Voltaire, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Voltaire said, doubt is not a pleasant condition, but certainty is. And the danger is when we become certain about something we don't want to think about. I was thinking about this the other day, that you have people in the United States today who are very popular and very powerful in the media, such as Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and Michael Savage, and also people on the left as well, who these people feel that they're threatened by anyone who's a progressive-minded person because they just don't understand it. The left, it's easy to attack, you know, the right is easy to attack the left. So you have commentaries. You have thinkers on the left. You have thinkers on the right. Then you have people who are not aligned thinking, but who want to simply serve the status quo. And then you have your independent thinkers, the progressives. And they're a completely different ball game. They're going to look for the truth wherever it is, and they're going to share it with you. For example, Keith Olbermann did some very, very articulate, intelligent, sensitive, and impassioned commentaries that I appreciated. I wrote him a note saying, I really appreciate your commentaries. He'd do maybe once a month against George W. Bush's policies. Never did him against Obama. So that's partisan. That shows that, you know, he is a commentary writer and an ideological thinker from the left, but not progressive. So, you know, George Will is the same on the right. So what we have to understand is it's only when you break out of these categories and you just become an independent thinker that you can see something for what it is. And if someone is now able to hear information, including the commentaries and the guests and the interviews, they give them a different perspective than what they've had before, we welcome them. And this year we'll have over 1,347,000 brand new listeners, mainly women in their 40s, 35 to 45, college educated, listening on their computers at home at night by downloading the shows. And we see each night tens and tens and tens of thousands of downloads per show that day, my noon show. So we know that people are coming. The older people generally come for the health and nutrition. Younger people or professional people come for the social issues. And so all that means that there's a voice for them. And we're happy to be able to share with them. Thank you, Luann.
Okay.
We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Null. And remember, you can download any program, go to the archives, especially the Conversation with Remarkable Minds archives and Progressive Commentary Hour archives.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such...